Support for TortureCast is brought to you by Manscaped. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TortureCast at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code TortureCast. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
Well, everyone, it's Wednesday, October 13th, 2021, and this is episode 242 of the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of your San Francisco Giants. We're coming to you live on Facebook. And guys, I'm stressing out, man. Game five, we got it. We got what we wanted. We got what we
did. I didn't want this. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I wanted it done in four.
This is that story Chad was talking about. If you could write the story, right? Yeah. I don't want to write the story. I wanted to watch the story. And the story was the Giants never had to play the Dodgers. And we just creamed the Cardinals in three games. And now we're on to the NLCS. But the story is different, apparently. The real life version. It's not going that way.
I'm telling you, man. 109 wins for each team, tied two games apiece. These two teams are just so evenly matched. It just keeps bearing itself out, and we're down to a winner-take-all. Game five. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I was nervous going into game one just because of Logan Webb. The Giants were undefeated at home with him this year, but you figured a young kid having his first postseason appearance, maybe the adrenaline was going to be a little too strong and he was going to maybe lose his touch, but that was the furthest thing from the truth as he just dominated game one in that shutout. And then again, you go to game three and you're thinking, Alex Wood, he's kind of hit or miss. Some games are just fantastic. Others are not.
I was thinking only about Max Scherzer.
Yeah. And then I was thinking like, he could have a great game. Yeah. He could give up 1-5 or 2-5, which is a great game. And Scherzer is going to give up nothing. And he almost did give up nothing. Right.
Yeah,
and I don't know how the hell that team won 1-0, guys. I'm just telling you right now. And no, the Giants did not cheat by bringing a wind machine out to Dodger Stadium. I'm just going to say that right now.
I'm still getting a kick out of the Dodger fans blaming the wind. The Giants hit two balls in that game that would have gone out in any other park on any other day, but they're sitting there whining about Gavin Lux and his stupid face.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, look, the ball that he hit, apparently – if you look at what is it, StatCast or whatever, balls hit exactly that miles per hour at that launch angle and blah, 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 went out like 70% of the time. But doesn't matter because that one went out 0% of the time when he hit it. So game over.
Longo hit his hard enough, you know, but you're right. I mean, Yaz had one to deep center, there's one other giant ball to the wall. I mean, it happened to both teams. The wind was.
Both
was
teams had to play in the same weather. So.
Both have had to play with the bad umpiring we've seen in this series. You know, it's fairly equal. So, but these two teams, I mean, look, the Giants have been outscored because it's gone, you know, shutout, blowout, shutout, blowout. So the stats are kind of lopsided in that sense. But games, you know, they're irrelevant for what happened before. They're independent events. I mean, look at game seven of the 2014 World Series. The Giants lost game six to Kansas City. I think it was 10-0. I mean, they got absolutely shredded in that game. And there was a lot of concern going into that game seven. No problem. You know, of course, had a special player called Madison Bumgarner. But I think we're all hoping that maybe Logan Webb is that reemergence of that spirit. You know, Bumgarner came out in the 2010 playoffs, actually younger than Webb is now, and started to show that back then. And Webb clearly thrives in this environment. I mean, he showed that in game one. The Giants are now 14-0 behind Webb at Oracle Park this year. And so there's no reason to believe that Webb's going to come out there and lay an egg. I mean, he could. Anyone could. But, I mean, what do you guys think about this game five? What is maybe your stat prediction for for Webb against this Dodger lineup. You look at the stats against him, and he's handled the Dodgers really well this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's advantage Giants for sure. We have to play at home. We got the exact guy we want out there. The biggest question mark for me is the Giants offense going to show up against Arias, right? Yeah. Because I'm not really concerned about Webb. I think he's going to go out and he's going to have a good game. The Giants basically take a day off every other day, apparently, from hitting. So we need them to, well, I guess actually they take it like 3 days off in this series. But yeah, this isn't the Giants team as far as offensively that we've seen all year. The home runs have happened, but we haven't been able to string together anything else really. So, you know, we need to get that like 3-run bomb, you know what I mean? That has been missing. That was like a cornerstone of the Giants offense this year. And yeah, it's like the patient approach has kind of disappeared for some of the players. The thing that they were doing all season long, right? Mm-hmm. A few guys have kept it. Buster Posey seems to be fine. Brandon Crawford looks like he's still putting the good swings on it. But yeah, you got like Yaz going like what, 0 for a million? And then
he's 0 for 11.
And then outside of Longoria's one home run, which obviously was huge, he's also been missing in action. So yeah, someone needs to step up. Someone else needs to step up. We haven't seen really our late night Lamont action yet either. So, you know, it's we're waiting on a hero right now.
As we look at the team, it's the stars, like you said, Crawford and Posey that are, and even KB, that the guys that you expect to come through are doing those kinds of things. The other guys aren't doing a damn thing. None of the other guys are doing anything. Not Lamont, not Duggar, Yaz. If I have to watch Yaz take a fastball down the center of the plate for strike three one more time, I'm going to jump through a window. It is so frustrating to watch. But it's the same philosophy that got them here in the first place. So it's that double-edged sword. So, I mean, I'm with you, Willie. We need to see the bats get going more than anything else. I mean,
right now you've got 7 guys. 7 guys have gotten hits. 7 guys. Mm-hmm. We play a lot of guys. We platoon a lot of people. So, you know, that number should be in double digits. We should have 10, 11 guys with hits at this
point. No, it's not good through 4 games. We got Austin Slater, 2 for 3. KB, we wanted his emergence, right? The last month of the season, he was cold. He's 6 for 13.
With the rough home run, right? Flores 0 for 8. Solano 0 for 5. I mean, we need hits from these guys, man. We need hits from the lineup. I like the lineups that we've thrown out there, though. I think Kapler's done a good job, and this is what the Giants can do that like the Dodgers can't, right? Is we can stack the lineups against righties and lefties. And then obviously we can do that, what we're starting to call the line change, right? When the bullpen comes in, which is pretty cool. But yeah, right now it's just it hasn't been working. So yeah, someone's got to step up. Thankfully we are still seeming to get the ball out of the ballpark when we are making contact. So now we just need to do it. I mean, I feel like at home with Webb on the mound, game 5, these guys are going to – someone is going to step up. Someone's going to come through. But I just don't know who it's going to be right now. There's a bunch of guys missing.
Yeah, you expect someone down in the order because that's what the Giants have thrived on all year, is the next man up, you know, mentality and having that variety on the bench. As far as the best Giants versus Julio Urias, you have Posey. He's 10 for 20 against him. That's pretty freaking good. Slater is 368, going 7 for 19 with a home run. Crawford's 5 out of 17. That's a 294. Other than that, everyone else has got a sub, you know, that average. So, I mean, Urias has obviously been pretty good against the Giants. He's got a 2.61 ERA in 20 appearances, 14 starts versus the Giants. He's 2-1 this year with a 3.38 in the regular season. That was before his game 2 performance. Look, a guy wins 20 games, you know, he's on one of the best teams in the league, but in this day and age of Major League Baseball, where no one even sniffs 20 wins, I mean, that's a remarkable achievement. So the Giants are, you know, as far as performance based, they had Scherzer, they got him out of the way. They actually won that game, thankfully. This is probably the next best guy that, you know, they have faced and they will face. So it's definitely not an easy assignment. I don't think there's any doubt, even though the over-under I think is 6.5 runs, I expect this to be an under. than that. Yeah. I mean, I think this is going to be a 3-2, 2-1, 2-0 kind of game.
Okay. I think Giants are going to score this time. I think the Giants are going to get runs in this game. So
I need to start hitting lefties, though. They haven't been hitting left-handers as good as they did in the recent past.
But, I mean, to me, it's like you can't hold down. Like, I understand that we're reeling off these numbers, these offers.
Doesn't matter much in a game five, right?
Exactly. I also think that this team offensively is a team that, like, we haven't seen them just be, you know, bad for a long period of time, right? This team basically always tends to come back. Mm-hmm. And so I just don't think you can hold this offense down. Even it's like I'm saying, like, oh, it hasn't been there. But this offense, just all year long, we've seen it. It's like they have a down game. The next game they come back and they get like 13 or something crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I think the Giants, that's what this game kind of feels like. This game feels like a real opportunity for a rebound game for a lot of players. So that's what I'm looking for. It really feels like the way this team has gone all year. And I don't know why I should feel it's going to be different now all of a sudden. Other than the fact that the Dodgers are just an absolutely good team, too.
That's exactly where I was going to go. Yeah, that's exactly where I was going to go. We do have to give the Dodgers a little bit of credit. They won 106 games during the regular season for a reason. And it's a lot easier to bounce back from a loss against, say, the Diamondbacks than it is against the Dodgers. So it does make for an even bigger, you know, hill to climb in that respect. But, I mean, they've seen Urias so many times that I feel like the familiarity should come into play. And that might happen with Logan Webb too. But the difference is Logan Webb in game one featured his changeup, a pitch he basically put in his back pocket for most of the season. Mm-hmm. And so it was completely different Logan Webb than the Dodgers had seen before. So if he were to make more adjustments and maybe go back to, you know, the slider and the sinker a little bit more, the Dodgers might not be expecting it. So I do think the Giants have an advantage in that Urias can't reinvent himself in the way that Webb seems able to do.
Yeah, I guess Bailey and Webb must have had some sort of a game plan put together for that, because you're right. There were a couple of at-bats where I think he threw the changeup like for five straight pitches, which, I've never seen. I will say this too about Webb. Webb is the kind of pitcher that will thrive, I think, during his career in the postseason, because the way his stuff works, it's kind of one of those like dead arm is better for you than live arm, because then your stuff is a little out of control, right? He's got so much movement on every single pitch that when you get to late in the season and your arm is tired, it tends to be now a little more under control, right? You see that with guys like him historically. So he's a guy who I think is always going to like be better late in the season, and that's awesome. That's a guy I want on my team, right? You want to be built for October? Build yourself with guys like this.
No kidding. This is the fifth winner-take-all postseason game between 100.
You're jinxing it. Teams
in MLB history, and the same thing. It's been the fifth winner-take-all between teams that had the top two records in Major League Baseball since the divisional era of 1969. And
do you have the number as to who won those games, though?
I don't.
I'm just asking. Like, legit, I was curious to see, like, did the better team go 3-2 or 4-1? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. And the other one that you brought up, Eric, which I also had in the notes, is, you know, the Giants have won the last five winner-take-all games, and that includes the 2016 wild card game versus the Mets, the 14 World Series, of course, Game 7, the very, you know, the one that we will remember forever and ever and ever, the wild card that year against Pittsburgh, and then, of course, the back-to-back 2012 series in which they were down 2-0 to Cincinnati, 3-1 to St. Louis. They came back and won those ultimate deciding games in those series. So the last time they lost one of these games was the 2002 Game 7 of the World Series, which remember that day a little too much. But
I'll say this, though. That stat, unless you believe in the mysticism of shirts, that Bingo. Stat literally doesn't matter. Because those teams
it's
were
fun
different
to talk
than this
about.
Team. I know, but it's so funny when like you watch ESPN and they'll talk about these, like, these are like historically, like, that these matter or whatever, and you're like, it doesn't matter. Is this 25 or 26 guys and this 26 guys? They're
almost the same as far as independent events as flipping a coin. You know, five times in a row, you got heads. You're like, well, the next flip is clearly going to be heads. 50-50
on the sixth time. Yes,
it's like, no, it's still 50-50. Yeah, exactly. So, but it is fun to talk
about. I mean,
look,
do you think the fact that William Shatner went to space today means good things or bad things for the Giants? I mean, that's the same thing. That's literally,
I don't know.
We're Tom talking about Cruise events that do not matter.
Tom Cruise being in the park on game two caused that loss. It wasn't that. My presence. It was not.
I was gonna say,
presence.
Sure, it was Tom. Sure, it wasn't. I mean, yeah, should Tom we tell the listeners how your track record lately? I mean, we're starting to petition.
Those numbers absolutely mean nothing.
We are going to lock you in your house to make sure that you don't go to the game.
Like, if you do want to talk about numbers that mean something, tell everybody what your record is in the last month or whatever, right?
Fairly disgusting. Until last night, yeah, the Giants had played in 18 games, and they were 14-4. Well, I went to 3 of those 4 losses and none of the wins. So the Giants were essentially 14-1 without my presence.
Yeah.
So just saying, and I just chose unlucky games to go to. It wasn't that I had an effect on them. I just drew the short straw.
I mean, there's no way to tell unless we go back in time and you don't go to one of those games. That's the only, you know.
It is hard to go to that many losses, though. It is.
Mike Dowling, yeah, stay home, Chad.
To be fair, we're going to totally end this show talking about superstitions, too. So, like, we don't buy into it, but we're not going to screw with the gods either.
No, we're still baseball.
Yeah,
fans.
We're not going to tempt fate. So,
right.
Yes, I will stay home, Mike, as he's commenting there. No worries. You know, that would have been interesting if I had gotten press passes for tonight. If I had been like, well, should I? No, I didn't get them anyway. So it's a moot point. But yeah, I did go to game two. My wife did purchase a couple of tickets for our anniversary. And so she sent her father and me. And we all know how that ended. Not so well. But yeah, that's an expensive proposition, an expensive game to go to. You want to at least get your money's worth in a good game. And that just really turned sour in about the 6th inning with the bullpen coming in, which, by the way, I didn't think Gausman was really in trouble at that point. I was a little surprised by bringing in, I think it was Leon at the time in the 6th inning when it was still a 2-1 game. Is that one of I wouldn't call it a mistake. Look, the Giants only scored 2 runs that whole game. You can't say, oh, it's Gabe Kepler's fault. Not saying that it is. But were you guys surprised that when he pulled Gausman at that point?
I was more surprised that he pulled DeSclafani last night after an inning in 2/3 without he still hadn't given up any runs right at that point, right? So no, he had given up one.
And then the other one scored one
on that, and then it was like
sack fly,
two guys on. Yeah but I mean, it was just like, yo, we threw multiple guys more innings than we were supposed to yesterday, dude. We kind of need innings out of this guy. That was my thought. The Gausman thing, I think he's just being really careful with Gausman after the hand cramp issue that he had. I think they're just not trying to stretch him. But maybe if he comes out and he's just like lights out, then yeah, you keep him in. But he didn't look like he was necessarily lights out at all. So,
but it did seem like really he could finish. It did seem like he could finish out that inning. It didn't seem like he needed to be yanked when he did. I Gausman. Yeah.
Let's I thought he was cruising along. Though, and we're all screaming and yelling, why didn't you take him out? You know what I mean? It's like, this is another hindsight. It's 2020 type of situation.
Well, I mean, it just all the games, every single game, the team that scored first won the game. So that's probably going to be a huge key for game 5. You know, we've noticed that once the Giants fall behind, they are not able to get back in the games in the 2 games that they lost. I mean, yeah, it got out of hand in both games a little later, but there were moments, especially last night, where the Giants were in it. I mean, it was unbelievable that it was only 4-1 because that felt like a 10-11-1 game because the Dodgers had traffic all game.
Lamont, take away Lamont's catch, and it is, right?
Yeah, very true.
Because that was with the bases loaded.
Yeah, they had walked the bases loaded, which is fantastic.
Yeah, the bullpen, by the way, walked the bases loaded or whatever. Uh-huh. So, like, this is what, to me, like, I love the fact that Kapler is the guy, like I've talked about, who doesn't finish the video game with a bunch of health pots in his bags. And he makes the play instantly and goes for it. But after the night that we'd had before, the 1-0 game, Rodgers going, 2-2/3? Is that what he did? Did Rodgers go 2-2/3?
Yeah, it was a little over 2. I can't remember if it was a 3rd.
Because then it was McGee just came in and got the 1 out, right? And then Duvall pitched 2 innings. Uh-huh. So you're like, okay, we just used all of our big guns here now in this game for longer than they really have been, you know, stretched this year outside of McGee only having to do the 1 out. But Now you're going to make it a pure bullpen game like the very next day by taking your starter out.
Yeah, but Disco didn't have anything. Every single pitch missed its spot. Like, he absolutely had no business being on the mound at that point.
And then the next day came in and didn't have anything either, though. Like, I mean,
I'm not disputing that. So that begs the question. I want to ask you guys this question, all right? What is your dream pitching scenario for the Giants tomorrow night? Who would you like to see go and for how long?
I would like to see Logan Webb pitch 9 innings.
I was about to say Logan Webb, 2 hits, 9 innings. That would be pretty good. Oh, and the Giants score 10. Other than that, that's not too much to ask. Yeah.
I mean, realistically, though, I would like to see Logan get 7, and I'd like to see Rogers come in, and then I'd like to see Duvall come in. I would like that to be the formula that happens tomorrow.
I think that would be, have a nice, 3 to 5 run lead in that range, and just have Webb for 7, then Rogers and Duvall, and just not make this, a torturous game, but it's going to be no matter what.
It's going to be stressful. I'm going to be working in the goddamn beer garden unless I can get somebody to switch my shift, which means I'm going to watch it on a phone. Luckily, the game does start late enough for me that I will be off work by the time the game is still going, so I'll be able to rush home and like catch the end of it. But God, I hope I'm not driving home and we're losing and I'm just mad. I'm thinking about just crashing the car on purpose on the way. But yeah, it's gonna be rough, man. It's gonna be hard to concentrate for sure on anything else tomorrow.
Yeah, this is when my kids are bothering me and I get a little snappy. Let's just say that. It's just a game, Dad. It's just baseball, Dad.
This is just so weird, though. I mean, this is different. This is so different than any. By the way, I agree with you guys, Webb, Rogers, Duvall. But this is so different than any of the game fives or sevens we've dealt with because it's the Dodgers.
I agree with that.
You know, I feel like there's like my palms are sweating right now talking and thinking about it. There's just something to it because we don't want to have to deal with Dodger fans for the entire offseason and the future. Because they're not going to let us forget it. And to be fair, we're not going to let them forget it either if the Giants win. So, you know, it's all part of the game. I mean, you don't have that kind of a thing between Giants and Royals game 7. It's not like we're going to get Royals fans in our ear for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. But this is different. You know, Chad, you talk about it all the time. You know, where you work out, you've got Dodger fan friends that you talk to. And they absolutely will be giving you crap if the Dodgers win this game.
100%. But I think one thing both teams can look to, no matter what, someone's going to come out on top. Someone's going home. And that's going to be the ultimate thing. I will say that, God, there was no blood on either side. You know what I mean? Not individual games. That's different. I mean, you know, one game in the regular season and now going to a fifth game in the NLDS. I mean, Jesus, guys, you can't. The margin of error here is it's a razor's edge, right? And so whoever loses, it's like, well, crap. I mean, tip your cap to the winner. It's not like it was one-sided. I mean, this has been a battle.
I will not tip my cap if the Dodgers win.
If the Dodgers win, it's hard.
If the Dodgers win, I will remind them forever and ever that it was 12-12 for the season. They did not come out ahead of us.
Well,
it was 12-12 if they win. If they lose, it's 13-11, and we're definitely better. Huge margin there.
Huge. Massive.
So that's the argument that you can make. If they win and they're trying to yap at you, you go, hey, we played you straight up even. Two of the best teams in baseball played each other straight up even. That's what will happen there. So, but that's not going to happen. We're going to win this game. The Giants are definitely winning this game.
Yeah, no, I think the odds are pretty good. Vegas, I mean, whenever Vegas has them as an underdog, I actually feel pretty good about it. They actually don't have them as an underdog for this particular game. I think there is some credence to the home field advantage and the fact that Logan Webb is pitching because they have them both at minus 105. So it's a pick 'em by Vegas.
Wow, that's crazy.
It's the first time they're favored-ish in a game this series. So that's where home field does come into play. That's where the history of game fives and game sevens absolutely comes into play.
Yeah.
I mean, does it just feel like it's just destined to go into extra innings or something? Like,
oh,
it's
my
just...
Lord.
What are you doing?
That
man?
Didn't even cross my mind, Willie. But now you've put an earworm in my – oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look.
I don't think I can take that.
I know, right? Like they're just gonna like play. It's gonna go until like both teams are out of pitchers, and then
That was the Giants last night. I mean, everybody pitched yesterday.
Yep, we're out of pitchers. I will say I commend Walker Buehler for pitching well. First time in his career he's ever pitched on short rest, apparently. Apparently he was like their golden child forever, and they were just super careful with him.
Yeah.
But he, you know, like, you got to be able to do that stuff when it's playoffs. I'm surprised he hasn't had to do that when they've been in the playoffs every friggin' year. You know what I mean?
Well, it's always been Kershaw that they turn to.
He's always been the guy that they lean on. So
exactly, he wasn't the number one. So yeah, it's never he's never really been asked to do that. But I mean, we've seen a lot of number one horses go on short rest in Major League Baseball history in the playoffs, and often it does not go well. So, I mean, I was really hoping for that.
Well, the Dodgers did a good job getting him out too when he was starting to lose it. You could tell you could tell his pitches were starting to flatten out a little bit. He was missing the spots a little bit, and the Giants were making more solid contact. And Dave Roberts did not hesitate to go get him. I have to say, for as much crap as I've given Dave Roberts in the past, I think he's managed a very good series for the Dodgers so far.
He is kind of a dum-dum, isn't he, Dave Roberts? But it's like, I think he just has enough experience at this point. He just kind of understands, you know. I also think the Dodgers staff, like, they have a smart – it's like the Giants. Like, they have a smart staff. They have a lot of people that they can lean on that aren't just the manager. In a way, like, a lot of times it felt like the Bruce Bochy show for a lot of years, you know. Like, he was basically the entire – like, he was doing all of it. And what I love about Kapler and his squad is it feels like there is a lot of people making the small decisions, and then Kapler just kind of goes, yes, I sign off on that. You know what I mean? So like, we're going to, I think, you know, right now we could talk shit about some of the decisions that have been made bullpen wise, but I think both managers have managed the series really well. I don't think we've seen anybody collapse because of, you know, horrible decisions. All the decisions made sense for reasons, right? Even though I'm with you. Dee Sclafani didn't look good, but I still thought we needed at least like four out of him, because I was so, as soon as they went to the bullpen, I was like, I don't want to see Rogers again today. I don't want to see Duvall today. You know, we didn't, but, you know, those guys,
he's the only one. Man.
Yeah. Those guys were stretched, and I was like, this game, we might just lose this game, but I want the freshest arms for game five. And I know we have the day off. So that's probably what they were thinking. With a day off, all these guys can go. But
yeah, and possibly being the last game, it's like everyone's going to be able to pitch no matter what, right? Oh, yeah. Especially it's always all hands on deck for those game five, game sevens. But yeah, Kapler definitely managed it like almost like it was his last possible game. And I think the reason was is that the Giants really dodged a bullet in the first few innings. Like you said, Eric, I mean, the game really could have been 6-7-8-0 at that point. The Dodgers had traffic all night long, and they had two runs to show for it. I mean, even Dodger fans were going, what the hell? We're only by two right now? Yeah. So I think Kapler was chasing the possibility of like, look, if we can get to Buehler in the bullpen, I mean, a bloop and a blast, it's tied. So I got to manage this bullpen like it's that kind of game. And for a moment, it worked. Mookie hit that two-run blast, which doubled the lead, and then it got to 4-1. You're thinking, and the Giants had opportunities to score more that inning, by the way. I thought that was the inning where they were going to come roaring back and make it like a 4-3 game. And
with bases loaded with one out, right?
Yeah, it just didn't materialize. And then the Dodgers, you know, after that, there was another two-run bomb, and before you knew it, that was all she wrote, and had to throw in the white flag at that point. But yeah, I mean, the bullpen, I think, is going to be relatively good for tomorrow night. And it's just a question of I don't think he's going to come out, you know, inaccurate. I think he's going to be dealing. But if he does run into some trouble, you know, what if it's a tie game or close game? It's the fifth inning and he puts two runners on with nobody out. Is that it's one of those situations where it's like he's going to be using maybe more of his gut and not analytics in a game five of like, is he still throwing well? Is his changeup still dropping? Is his slider or sinker still dropping? If he's locating well and the contact isn't hard and the exit velocities aren't hard, leave him in there, you know, see how, if he can get himself out of this jam. But, you know, if there's hard contact, hard line drives, hard outs, you might see him, you know, go right to the bullpen there in the fifth inning. And that's where the managers get paid the big bucks. I would not want to be in that seat.
Mm.
I mean, that's that moment where you have to decide who gives me the best chance to win. Is it a fresh arm out of the bullpen right now, or is it Logan Webb continuing to throw the things that he's throwing? And nobody in the Giants bullpen has shown that they're going to be the stopper. I mean, they've had opportunities. Alvarez had opportunities. Garcia had opportunities. Littell had opportunities. And they've all totally screwed them up. Like, it's really frustrating to see how bad middle relief has been in this series, considering how good they were throughout the regular season. But like last night, I mean, how many walks did the bullpen give up? It was ridiculous. Every time I looked up, it was ball four again.
Do you think that was just a sign of overamp, just adrenaline?
Yeah. I mean, oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just, I mean, what else can you chalk it up to? If their track record has been good throughout, you know, the season, then you got to assume that they would still be at that spot. But I mean, a lot of these guys are in positions they've never been in before. So hopefully some of them learn from the experience of the last few days.
I know you're yelling at the TV, stop walking people. And it's like, they know that.
Well, it's frustrating because these are guys that all pitched well during the season. So, and now you're like, suddenly I don't have any confidence in any of them anymore. Like, I came into the series, tons of confidence in our bullpen. And now I've got like three guys I've got confidence in right now. And that sucks, man. That's like, I don't want to be feeling like, oh, not this guy, you know, when like they put people in, because you know, they all the guys that they kept on the roster, they did so for very good reasons, right? These guys have done really, really good things and at certain times have shined. But right now it's like we got half of the bullpen seeming to fall apart all at the same time, which is just crazy. It hasn't happened all season long. Guys have had bad outings, but these are the guys that basically, like, you know, we cycled through people like crazy this year. And these are the guys that, you know, kind of stuck. So you'd expect better things out of them. But, I mean, look, they are facing the Dodgers. It's not like there's no hitters off against this team. You know, it's very, very tough. So I will say this. I think Logan Webb is he's like the perfect anti-Dodgers pitcher, because he just doesn't throw fastballs, right, which is what they want to hit. The Dodgers are like the best fastball hitting team in baseball. And he just dookies around with them and they keep chasing this stuff. So, like, I don't know if you guys go to our Dodgers ever, just to kind of see what they gauge their emotional state. But after game one, they were shocked that the Dodgers were swinging and missing at balls down and away, you know, off the plate. And I was like, these guys just haven't watched the Logan Webb start, I guess, because that's what he does. The ball starts in the zone but doesn't finish there. So he is like, he's like the, you know, he's the anti-Dodgers guy that we need out there right now. Other guys on our starting rotation rely a little too heavily on the fastball, and he doesn't. I think they showed he throws like 10% of the time it's a fastball.
Yeah, pretty much everything he throws has movement, as opposed to Disco, who was throwing straight last night. I want to shift gears for a second, though. The Tommy La Stella injury. Now, is this a big deal? There's two games in a row he's had to come out with the Achilles, and Donovan Solano has had to come replace him. Granted, La Stella was not going to start tomorrow because Urias is a lefty. But at this point, do the Giants have to consider taking La Stella off the NLDS roster and putting Estrada on there instead?
Mm, yeah, I think so. If they can't complete a game, yes.
Yeah, well, if they do that, of course, they lose La Stella for the NLCS, should they advance.
Right, but maybe that's not a horrible thing, because, you know, if he's hurt that bad, it's been a nagging injury, it's a time. It's something that I've been kind of watching, because the two biggest glaring omissions from the playoff roster were Tyro Estrada and Johnny Cueto. And you could replace Dickerson with Estrada. And you know what I mean? Like, Dick, I don't want to say he's useless, but he really has not done anything since July.
Our Dick is useless. Yes, we can say it.
So, you know, I totally see Estrada. And Jeff, I get your totally point about them giving up a left-handed bat, but if the guy can't run, what does it matter? Yeah. You know, the left-handed bat doesn't mean jack at that point. You need a guy who's healthy in there. You know, Donovan showed he could play defense because he made that great play in game three. Up the middle, but it's, you know, you got to wonder if it's a detriment or not at this point. So, you know, I would replace Tommy La Stella if possible on this roster, even with the possibility of losing La Stella.
Yeah, if this is going to be a lingering injury, you know, it's going to be tough to keep him on the roster moving forward. They can take the tack of just waiting one more game maybe vacating that position and then, you know, counting their cards when they hit the NLCS and reevaluate his injury for a potential Saturday game against Atlanta. So then they would, you know, maybe make the move then because they would know kind of where they lie. But yeah, here's, I mean, Listel's been hitting well. So
here's the dream. You take Listel off for Brandon Belt, who miraculously has come back from a thumb injury.
He did throw the ball the other day when he was taking ground. Yeah, yesterday. He did throw the ball a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, then they had to tell him to stop.
Just put some of that spray that the guys do and just go out there, man. Suck it up.
Yeah. Like, I know Belt and Muncy, in a sense, cancel each other out. You can argue the semantics of that. I don't care about that at this point. But they're, as far as Giants players, there is no one like Belt in terms of inconsistent play. But man, in a short series like this, if he was hot, he could carry the freaking Giants through the NLDS. And it just sucks.
I mean, the way he was when he went down, if he was in this lineup right now, that Belt has like four home runs in the series.
He like gets a cheat code or something every, you know, few weeks. It's like, it's like, whoa, he suddenly hit five home runs this week. What the hell's going on? And then he'll go 0 for 20. And you're like, what's going on with this dude?
I mean, I think we have to point it out that, you know, we're talking about the offense slumping. It's the offense without Belt, man, and that sucks. You notice every time he came back from injury this year, which was a few times, it definitely seemed to like put a charge into us. It really stretches the lineup out, and right now it's like it feels like. I mean, look, I'm happy with where things are, but it's like, yeah, it's rough, not Belt. You know what I mean? And it's and then against righties, it's like he would be the only lefty outside of Crawford that stays in, right? Because he's like that good right now. So I don't know.
Well, then let's build a lineup. What is the lineup for game five? Did they throw the same guys out there for game one that they had? Or what was it? Urias pitched game two?
Two.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the lineup they had for game two was Ruff, Bryant, Slater, Posey, Flores, Crawford, Longoria, Solano, and then pitcher. Do you go with that same kind of lineup? I mean, like you said, Crawford's the only left-handed bat who's going to face Urias to start it off. Do you just run the same lineup back out there, even though they only scored one run off Urias, or do you mix it up a bit? I mean, Slater could lead off instead of Ruff, maybe.
I like Slater leading off instead of Ruff. That would be my preference. Ruff, it's funny. It's funny when he's leading off.
Yeah,
come on. Like, can we get a guy who's fast to lead off, please? Like,
yeah, he looks like a softball player. I mean, come on.
It also doesn't help that he's struggling so much right now. Swinging at pitches he normally doesn't swing at, you know, and that's what a couple of Giants batters are doing. You talk about the patience that they showed throughout the regular season, and now suddenly guys like Ruff and Longoria, even, who didn't swing it as much out of the zone, is starting to swing out of the zone. So when you adjust those kinds of things, you know, it will make a bit of a difference. I mean, I'm with you. Run it back, but maybe mix it up a little bit. But you have to be as right-handed heavy as you can.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know much change other than swapping a couple guys like Slater and Ruff, like you suggested. You know, you're not going to be starting the lefties. You're not going to have Wade in there, Duggar in there, Listel in there. So it's almost the default right-handed lineup, you know?
You definitely want to – I think you definitely want to go Bryant, Posey, Crawford, 3-4-5. I want to stack those guys together because right now they're the guys getting base hits, right? And I want Crawford going five just because, yes, lefty against lefty. But Crawford has proved he can hit lefty. It's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Right now with his swing and the way he's staying balanced and everything. And then I think you probably – now it's just like, do you put – you put Slater one, and then I guess maybe Donnie Barrels two. I mean, it's weird looking for your two hitter.
Yeah, I think they stick with KB or Posey in the two hole. I think it's KB or Posey.
You think so? But see, then I still want to stack those guys together.
You know? Yeah, I get that, but I'm pretty sure Donnie will be batting eighth at this point.
Okay.
You know what I mean? They just it's where he belongs in the lineup compared to the rest of them. If Donnie had been on a tear, I say you move him up. But that's why I like KB in the two slot, because he's making some of the best contact of any of the Giants hitters this postseason.
And, well, then you go Bryant, Posey, Crawford then. I think you still do.
Right.
So then Posey hits third and then Longoria probably five, right?
I could dig
I mean,
that.
Look, Longoria is obviously not hitting, but I mean, the thing is, like, it's baseball. Guys are going to be like, oh, I'm 0 for 9 or whatever, but they're all professional hitters. They're going to, you know what I mean? They're going to, like, make adjustments and things. So it's like, I think, you know, Yaz, while he might be struggling mightily this round, very next, like, against the Braves, he could, like, go crazy. We've seen it all year long. These guys have battled back when they've been slumping. So I really do believe somebody's going to step up. Somebody besides those three. But we do still need to lean on those guys producing for us at some point during the game.
All right. Well, I wanted to go ahead and mention our sponsor. Support for TorchyCast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. That's a mouthful, man. I'm glad the Giants don't have that name, right? Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0, and I have it sitting right here. Here it is. It's actually pretty small. It's really, really nice. I've actually finally had a chance really to use it. So join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you, 20% off. Worldwide shipping is free with the code TORTUREcast at manscaped.com. So this is actually a really nice, small, lightweight trimmer, and there's a couple of guards that it comes with for, you know, your various lengths that you want to keep. A wireless charger with a brick case, some toner, and some deodorant for your family jewel area. But it's something that I've never really pursued, and I tried it out, and I was actually pleasantly surprised. So they have a convert in me. So it's, again, wireless charger. It's even got a little spotlight. Check this out. It's like,
yeah, you turn it on.
You can go shave in the dark.
Yeah. It helps. Yeah.
By the way, you don't have to only use it below the waist.
Oh, no, no.
I did the mohawk with it and came out clean, baby. Look at that.
It's well, I'll tell you this. It's a lot better than using a pair of scissors and a straight razor. Like, might have been done. I don't want to say straight razor, but another razor back in the day. The lawnmower, definitely, with the guards and stuff like that, it makes it really easy to take care of your nether regions.
Yeah, so all three of us do highly endorse this product. I'm definitely a convert. So, again, go check it out, manscaped.com. Enter the code TORTUREcast. You get 20% off and free shipping. And once again, we thank you for your support. All right, moving on. So last week, it was really, really odd. You know, we're a niche podcast. We're a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. We're not a big science podcast or a gaming podcast that appeals to a much wider audience of listeners. But KTVU was looking for, quote, the ultimate Giants fan. And they did some Googling, and they happened to find our website. And they were kind of clicking down the hole and reached out to me. And they, long story short, they sent a cameraman to, let me bring this up here, a cameraman to my house in Gilroy, which I was shocked about. I thought they would just do it over Zoom. And they actually ran a little story, and it ran last Friday a couple of times on KTVU Mornings on 2, which is a local broadcast station. So I'm going to go ahead and play this. This is a 90-second story they featured on TortureCast last Friday. So let me bring it up.
Today, he is renowned marine biologist at the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary. But when he's off the clock, he may be the biggest Giants fan.
Welcome to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants.
That's 47-year-old Chad King. He helped start that TortureCast podcast covering all things Giants 10 years ago in his Gilroy home. He has thousands of followers, so much so the Giants now credential him for games. His studio, Man Cave, is filled with memorabilia. It's all things orange and black, and he wouldn't have it any other way.
I've always dreamt of having my own man cave or retreat, and it just kind of took off on its own. I started decorating with a couple of jerseys and hats, and before I knew it, the inner 16-year-old took over, and it became a little too much for my wife for the rest of the house.
Well, his wife and two kids, though, are Giants fans as well. They have one rule on game day in the King household. Wearing blue is forbidden.
It does not get better than that. Two teams that finished a game apart over the regular season, the two best teams in the major leagues. It was kind of destiny, no matter how nervous I'm going to be, you know, at the first pitch. I think it's just right that these two teams face each other in the playoffs.
It is going to be exciting, and the King family will be watching with many of us tonight. First pitch, 6:37 at Oracle Park.
Time is 6:30.
There we go. So that kind of all happened in flash in the pan, but it was really cool. So thanks for everyone's support on that. Hopefully we've reached out to a few more Giants fans out there during this playoff run. And
oh, I'm sure we
did. And if you're new, welcome aboard, everyone.
Yeah. I mean, when me and Chad started this torture cast 10 years ago in Gilroy, California.
I know. It's so funny. I've done quite a few news stories for work, right?
It was in the garage.
That's why you're a renowned marine biologist, because you've done so many stories.
Yeah, because I clearly gave them all those things to write about and say, right?
This is too easy.
The one thing that I've noticed is, man, local news screws everything up, man. They never get crap right. And so, like, you know, they didn't even send a reporter down. They sent a cameraman down and they asked some questions. I did a couple of things over email and I said, yeah, three other guys started this podcast in 2011. I joined a few months in. I was very clear about
crap,
that.
Dude. I'm just giving you
But that's what happens, right? You do this thing, snap. And then they just pick whatever they want, and they just show.
That doesn't snap if they go like 10 years ago, three guys who worked at Apple started this podcast, and then a couple of years later, Chad joined. They're not going to do that. Look at the launch today, right?
Yeah, they didn't mention the other three passengers. They're just like, William Shatner went to space. It's like three other people did too, but oh well.
But no, that was good. And the fact
that's William Shatner.
What?
No, I didn't. I just meant
Chad's William Shatner. Is that what you're saying?
No, the fact that at the very beginning of the story they shout out TortureCast, that definitely means some people are going to go torture. There's a podcast about the Giants, and then they're going to check it out. Because every time I tell people about it, they're like, I never even thought about looking up podcasts about the Giants. I'm like, okay, it's because everybody just goes to KNBR or whatever, like for their. Mm-hmm. For their audio listening pleasure when it comes to Giant stuff. I think we're definitely going to see some new listeners. So anybody who's out there who found us through that, welcome. We've been doing this for a long time. And this has been one of the most exciting times during that 10-year run, even though we've had some really exciting times.
Yeah, we have. I'll throw in and just add in for any new listeners or any listeners out there. If you have a minute, go to iTunes, rate us, review us, and we will read some of the reviews on the show at any time. Any new reviews coming in, we'll absolutely share those. Get your name or your handle on the show and what you think of us, because we love doing this, so we appreciate that the listeners are still out there.
Mm-hmm. Haven't you gotten the check I cut you guys?
That sweet KTVU money.
KTVU money. Oh, I love it. This is fantastic. All right. Well, I don't know. I thought I'd ask you guys just real quickly, just a couple more things here before we wrap up. Some keys to the game for myself. It's really going to be that Logan Webb is Logan Webb of game one. He comes out hot the first few innings. And if he does that and establishes himself the first time through the rotation, I think he's going to go 6 or 7 shutout or one run ball. So I think that is the key to the game. I mean, granted, there's many other things we need, like offense, but I think that's number one. What about you, Willie?
Well, I'm hoping that it is Slater in the one hole, and I think he'll be a key. I mean, really, it's somebody that's not Bryant, Posey, or Crawford needs to step up. And if that happens, this is a pretty comfy game, right? But if that doesn't happen, then this is going to be – we're going to lean heavily on Logan Webb. So my key is – we need the fourth guy, question mark. Who is it? Who are you? Show yourself. That's what we need.
And I'll say the key to the game is getting ahead early, because like I mentioned earlier, every team that has scored first has won. And in the postseason, generally speaking, the teams that score first have something like a 750 winning percentage this year. Mm. So I would say the Giants need to get on the board early. And a home run or two will not hurt. The key to the game might be out-homering the Dodgers. Well, I mean, granted, it gives the runs, but the Giants have relied so much on the long ball this season that if they do hit a couple of bombs, then you feel a lot better about, what's going to happen. So I would say personally, though, it's just you got to get ahead early if you can. Which, I mean, pulls to everything. It pulls to Webb starting well, pulls to the top of the order doing well. I mean, it's just, it's so simple and basic, but it's really, I mean, what else can you say? It's one game to win it all, and all those win it all, to to advance to face the Braves.
It'll feel like winning it all, honestly. Like,
yeah, it will.
It'll feel pretty damn good. I know. Yeah. I know. And if you know, the Giants were to win and then move on and lose against the Braves, it's like, well, at least we got the Dodgers. But
sure. I mean, look, no other series went the full distance, right? I mean, it was pretty clear this one was going to. And because this might just be like, if you were to see baseball teams, this should be the World Series. Right. If you know what I mean? If you were just like, if the World Series
for baseball talent, baseball,
then this should be the World Series. So in my head, it is right now. It's the most important series. It's, you know, everything after this is just gravy on top.
It's going to be really interesting with the collective bargaining agreement being renegotiated this offseason. Not only will we see things like probably the DH in the National League, but we're going to see an expansion of the playoffs. We don't know what format that's going to be. But any expansion to perhaps 12 or even 14 teams, they probably won't go as deep as 16, but
Jesus,
we'll probably include something to the kin of like first round bye for the number one seeds and reseeding after every round. So you are not faced with this situation with the two best teams in all of baseball, let alone the National League, facing each other in the first round. And even after this, I'm not saying this is a... You know, if the Dodgers were to win, God forbid, they go play Atlanta as the lower seed and Atlanta has home field advantage. And they won, what, 18 fewer games than the Dodgers? Yeah. I mean, that's like. Atlanta,
didn't they have, were they the lowest?
I mean, I'll be fine with that.
Percentage in the playoffs?
Yeah, because they were the three seed and both the Giants and Dodgers had better records. But I'm a little on the opposite side of all this.
Yeah,
I really think more than any other sport, winning your division means something in baseball. They play 162 games. This isn't a 16-game season where, you know, so winning your division means you were able to beat off the rest of your division for as much as possible. So in that respect, I got to give the Braves credit that they were able to step up and be that team. So in a sense, I believe they deserve the home field advantage based on winning the division. And baseball has always made it important to win the division. And they, I don't necessarily want to see that changed. I really don't. I mean, I get all the arguments, but what we're going through this year is a once in a lifetime experience.
It's a rare thing. I agree. Yeah. And that's what the argument against reseeding is, the fact that, okay, yeah, once every 15 years or something like that, something weird like this is going to happen. Otherwise, most of the disparity between the number one and four seed could be as little as 2, 3, 4 games where it's like, that, you know, that doesn't really matter. When it gets to 18 games, then you're like, okay, one team's clearly better than the others. But, you know, that's what the Dodgers would have to play with if they win. Now, of course, if the Giants win, they go in as a number one seed, and game one will be at Oracle. So we're hoping the Giants are going to be back at Oracle on Saturday. I just wanted to do a couple more things. One, if you wanted more reasons to hate the Dodgers, and this is a tiny, tiny bit political, but Blake Treinen apparently... even on his Instagram page, I have a screenshot of it right here, and I won't share it because I don't want to put out some of the URLs here, but one of them is a COVID conspiracy site. I mean, he's putting it right in his Instagram, you know, bio. And then another one is a link to a person who prophesied. He says he's a prophet from God. And he also says that anyone who votes Democrat is is evil. So, and there's a lot of things associated with that. So, anyway, for anyone who wants to get political, there's another good reason to.
It's a real Aubrey energy going on over there. Huh?
Real Aubrey energy, right? Very anti-vax, government, anti
selling shirts that say alpha male and stuff like that. Yeah, you know, if you have to tell the world that you're an alpha male, I'm sorry, you're not. You're not an alpha.
Yeah. Yeah. If people have their own political beliefs, that's fine. But yeah, this guy's really out there with it. So,
and, by the way, it's you're funny.
But man, he's a nasty pitcher, though. Holy crap.
No. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, an alpha male is a guy who provides for all those around him, not just some guy who stands out there and beats his chest.
Well, I mean, technically, if you want to get technical about it, an alpha male is just like the man of the herd that all of the women sleep with. And if you're that, then sorry, that doesn't really exist in this. humanity. We need to stop.
We're venturing in a whole different direction.
I know. Aubrey needs to go collect
all as a human race, we need to stop talking about who's alpha and beta. And come on, it doesn't matter.
Totally. We're past caveman days.
We're sending 90-year-olds into space, okay? It doesn't matter anymore.
Very good point. That's a good way to tie a bow on that one.
Yeah, you don't have to hunt or gather, all right? Just stop it.
All right, so two things left. One of them, boy, we suck at playoff predictions, boys. Willie was wrong on both wild cards. Eric got one right with the Dodgers. I got both right. But after that, it didn't matter because we all got Milwaukee wrong. We all thought Milwaukee was going, and we all thought Tampa Bay was going.
Sucked at the end of the year, didn't they?
And it wasn't just they got beat. They got beat 3 games. I mean, all the other series were 3-1, right?
Couldn't beat the Dodgers. They couldn't beat the Braves. They couldn't beat anybody.
That's right. So
yeah, I feel like the Rays got screwed though, man. That call in Game 3 where the ball hit the wall and then it hit the fielder and it went out. Like, I understand that that's the rule. The rule sucks. The rule absolutely sucks. You know, he must have possession before the ball goes out of play. So what's to prevent a fielder when a ball bounces off the wall from like swinging his arms to knock it back out of play instead of letting it run? Score.
What's to prevent it is that would be stupid. You should try to catch the ball and throw somebody out.
It is a judgment play, of course. And they did review the play because it was a reviewable play. But if it is an unintentional act, it is 2 bases, period. Not from the point of where the runners were. It's just 2 bases.
It's for the point of where they were at the pitch, right?
If it is an intentional act, then it is from the point where the runners were. They get 2 bases, and therefore one run would have scored. But they reviewed the play, and they're like, "Yeah, no, that just bounced off his leg and went over the fence. That was not like he was not like get out of here, ball."
There's no way that like kicking it over the wall on purpose is ever a better play than just trying to field it cleanly and throw it in.
I agree. I'm just saying there's loopholes.
I know. So I mean, it was interesting.
That guy was going to score. I was absolutely going to score on that double.
But I mean, there's tons of times the ground rule double rule then in general is stupid because there's tons of times a guy was going to score if it didn't bounce over the fence. Right?
Even if it didn't hit a person. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, just because it naturally bounced over or it ricocheted off of a dude. Like, it is what it is. And it's like in baseball, it's like it's not going to be perfect every time. But I don't know if you guys saw the last time that there was a ground rule double like that.
It was for the Rays. Puig.
Yeah. Oh. It was Yasiel Puig. Do you guys remember this? When he dove for the ball, didn't catch it, and it bounced over, and then he like threw his helmet on the ground and like had like a fit. This is basically the end of his tenure with the Dodgers, where he was just getting more and more annoying because he was like giving up on plays. And you know what I mean? You remember this like period? Like a ball would get past him and he like wouldn't run after it and all that kind of stuff. It was basically that. He dove for the ball. It bounced off of the ground, off his glove, and then went out. And I guess that was the last time that they had to like make this call. But I mean, but is the Jose Canseco off the head not a home run then or whatever? Like, it's like.
No, because it didn't hit the ground. So that one makes sense, you know? Right. Well, I just felt like the rule should be interpreted like a thrown ball. You know, I really felt like it should have been from the time of the act, you get 2 bases instead of from the time of the pitch. But that was the rule. I don't agree with it.
The way it was written.
You guys know I'm the rules guy. I'm the umpire. I umpired for 20-something years.
You want to change the written rule. That's right. What you want to do.
Well, let me ask you this question then. Would you have called out who was it? The White Sox guy.
It was Yasmani Grandel, and absolutely not.
Into the throw.
Well, he didn't run into the throw. He ran straight towards first base, and he happened to be in the way of the throw.
I don't know about calling it straight towards first base.
Here's the point.
He had no reason to be that far left.
He didn't look over his shoulder looking back, and the baseline is determined as the line that the runner runs in until a tag play is made on him, and then it changes. Now, had he been 10 feet farther down the line and not in the runner's lane, yes, absolutely. That is an interference call and it's justified. Right. But he was before the 45-foot line, which means he's still just establishing his own baseline.
Let me ask you this, though. Did you look at his swing?
Yeah, I watched it. I watched
his momentum into the center of the diamond.
I
knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing, and
you can't fault the guy for being smart. I mean,
I think in this case, this was an intentional act. That one you're talking about was not. So if there was a problem with the rules, this is a problem.
Oh,
this
no. How about the Astros guy doesn't throw it where it's going to hit the runner? You know, it's not up to him to get out of the way to make a throw. It's up to you to field it.
I know, but look, I'm just saying that guy had no reason to be there. He had no reason to be there other than he was, like you said, oh, he's just being smart. It's like, well, yeah, we should all just like cheat on our taxes because that's smart.
No, like, but there's no baseline established yet. Intention. That's the thing.
You want to talk about intention? That guy, one guy just had a ball boot off of him, and another guy didn't intentionally like
stick
ran
his arm out. He didn't do the Reggie Jackson from back in the 70s. No, you're right.
He basically did what, you know, he wore it like a guy taking a hit by pitch.
I thought it was creative running. I'm going to leave it at that.
It was creative, yes. But I mean, come on. He did that on purpose. There's no reason
he did, like, but
for him to be there.
Where he got away with it. And I think I think it was within the rules, technically.
I think it's a fair play. I 100% think it's a fair play.
I don't think it's a fair play. But I mean, I do. But again, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, he, like, it's, they changed the rule for him or whatever. No, you're right. The rule states that he's allowed to be there. I think it's a dumb rule because he knew what he was doing, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's say you're like bunting and you're doing like a drag bunt, then you have a reason to be where he was. But on any swing, there's no way his momentum took him towards the pitcher.
Yeah, but technically speaking, he could run to the dugout after he hits the ball, and that's the baseline. You know what I mean? So that's where
speaking, it's a dumb rule.
We're getting caught up on semantics. I just, you know, it's one of those things. You know me, I will always defend the rules. That's just how I'm programmed, except in the case of that ground rule double.
You just got done not defending the rules.
I know, but you know, I'll defend the application.
And choosing.
Well, I'll defend the application of the rule, but if it's a bad rule, I'll 100% agree.
Okay. Yeah. I think that situation's a bad rule. I don't think that the runner should be allowed to establish any baseline he wants.
What if the Astros did it and the White Sox threw the ball? Would you be on the same side of things?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm not so sure, Willie. Absolutely. I'm not so sure.
I'm not an Astros fan. I'm not an Astros fan.
I get it, but you're kind of pulling for the Astros. I mean,
No.
I was pulling for the Sox.
I don't care. Speaking of, if a Giants player did that, I would say he should be out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think I'll grant you that. I think so. So yeah, even though you missed both wildcard teams, you, Willie, are the only one still alive for your World Series matchup because you predicted the Astros and the Giants. So if the Giants win tomorrow night, then you're still alive. However, I had Tampa Bay against the Giants, and of course, Eric had the White Sox against the Giants. So our World Series is not going to happen the way we thought. God.
And if things go sideways tomorrow, we go down in flames.
Yeah, we go down. Where we at. No one left. Well, I did choose Houston to be in the ALCS, but not.
Yeah, but beat then you Tampa chose Bay, so. Tampa Bay to beat them, right? Yeah.
So goes to show you, it's baseball. It's the playoffs. Anything could happen. Who picked the Giants in 2014? Right? I mean, shit happened. So
I did.
We probably did. Playoffs started.
We believed. Yeah.
Once the playoffs started, I did.
Yeah. We don't have a choice, though.
I'm pretty sure we had a "Why We Will Win It All" segment at the very, very beginning of that season. So I'll say yes, I did. I did pick them. That's when we were doing it, no matter what.
All right. So,
where's everybody watching Game 5? What is everybody doing for Game 5?
We need all your mojo out there. If you're listening to this before Game 5, I want to hear stories from you guys. We'll put this out on Twitter and Facebook. You know, what's your lucky food? What's your lucky jersey? You know, lucky underwear, lucky socks, lucky seat, lucky thing you do, lucky dance, lucky toothpaste, whatever it is. And so, I don't know, Eric, what do you do before the game? Even though I'm a little stitious, not superstitious, right?
That's where I'm at too. I watch the game in one of my dad's shirts. That's my piece of luck, is to have my dad with me as we're watching the game. So I've worn the same shirt for all four games. I have washed it. And I washed it between games 2 and 3, so I went from loss to win. So maybe I should wash it today. Ooh, good call.
Yeah. Wash out that loss, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. That's about it, though. I wear the same shirt. I wear this hat that I'm wearing right now, just because it's, you know, happens to be the hat that I put on at the beginning of game one. But sometimes I have to take the hat off because my dog goes nuts when she sees me put a hat on. She immediately assumes we're going out because I don't wear a hat in the house ever. And so it kind of like takes a minute to calm her down and just have myself back in it. But that's my little stitches, is bringing a part of my dad with me. How about you, Will? You do anything superstitiously?
Just the hat.
No Sloppy Joes this year?
No Sloppy Joes. I mean, that was a Zeke's thing. Zeke's is no longer here. Yeah. So the Sloppy Joes is, that's not the mojo this time around. Just the hat, like, just make sure that I have it on, make sure that I'm rocking it and ready to go. I actually gave Ty some crap the other day because he came in. He was trying, he had to work, and he was like, I'm going to not watch the game till I get home. So I'm not wearing my Astros hat so that nobody talks to me about the Astros so that he can like avoid it. You know what I mean? That was the day I think, Chad, you were like, Astros are looking good. And I was like, don't text Ty like right now. He actually, it was funny because right after you texted that, I walked back in and he was in the kitchen at the time. And I was like, don't read your text, dude. And he was like, I wasn't. As soon as he saw Chad, he was like, I'm not reading that. But I was
I didn't realize he was at work there too. Yeah, so, no, yeah.
But I was like, how could you not wear your hat on game day, dude? Like, you're not giving them the, and he's like, no, it's, he said something like, oh, I got my Astros poker chip in my pocket. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. You're doing your part then, I guess. But yeah, definitely like the hat. I got to be rocking that. I'll probably have like my Giant socks on and stuff tomorrow. I'm thinking about just calling in sick, to be fair. I'm thinking about just being like, I can't work. I'm sorry. I'm sick. I got baseball fever.
Baseball fever, man. Catch it.
Yeah.
Everybody. And there's no vaccine for baseball fever, guys.
I can't get the
winning shot.
Yeah.
Winning. Yeah. Winning it all is the only cure for this fever. That's for damn
sure. I'm going to be going crazy if I'm at work. It's just going to be so annoying.
Oh, I know. I myself don't really have any. I wear this hat recently, but you know, usually when I go to games, which has completely been disproven as a fan anyway, I usually rotate the jerseys anyway. So I don't really have any special kind of, you know, routine, I'd say. Just this hat recently. No lucky shirt, no lucky seat. I'm busy, man. I'm usually running around with my kids, dropping them off somewhere. So they got scouts, they got a school event, they got whatever. And I just got to have the phone in my pocket, you know, catching up and recording the game at home so I can, you know, come home and zip along. So
where are your priorities, man?
I know. I'm getting married in October. I'm having kids.
Biggest Giants fan. I'm calling KTVU right now. Tell me about
the all the peace, man.
He's a fraud.
I do sit. I will say this. I didn't even realize it, but I do sit in the exact same spot for every game. I didn't even realize it until just now when we were talking about it.
I did that the other day. I was watching game one on the right side of my couch, and then game two, I was like on the left side for some reason. And I was like, what am I doing over here? I got to move over to the winning side of the couch again. So, yeah, we all do the little things, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
that's part of the fun of being a fan, though. I mean, that's why we're so invested in this, and that's part of just the enjoyment of having a team to root for is these little things and quirks that we get to do. So I'm looking forward to everybody going through. Do your routine, whatever it is. If you dress up in orange on game day, dress up in orange. If you've been wearing the same underwear for a week, maybe don't do that, but
yeah, maybe you should get a new superstition.
Right. But I implore all Giants fans, pull out the stops. We're going to do the same. I mean, it doesn't hurt is the one thing I can say.
And it's a lot of fun when it works because you believe it. So it kind of increases that fandom. So, well, that's awesome, fellas. Boy, I'm getting nervous already for game five. Before we wrap up here, you got anything to pimp, Willie? You got any streaming or anything going? Not now, right? Not during the playoffs.
No, there's not going to be any streams until this is over, pretty much. But I will say for TortureCast fans, anytime I can, I will be trying to do post games and stuff like that. So just, you know, check out the Facebook page after games. Hopefully you guys will be able to join me for those and stuff. But it's been fun just to kind of get on and just talk about it like right after it's over.
Because therapy.
And hopefully this time, so hopefully tomorrow it'll be a joyous occasion when I do it.
For sure. And then Eric, you got Giants chatter still going on.
Yeah, Giants chatter on Facebook. Join the group. You know, we're a lot of fun. We keep the riffraff out. I can't tell you how many posts I've deleted lately because they're very much like another group. And we don't do that in there. So if you want good, thoughtful baseball discussion, join up Giants chatter. We have game threads and everything like that. And if I get a chance, I will probably join Willie tomorrow after game five.
Yeah, win or lose. I'm going to try my best, fellas. Try my best. All right, well, that's going to do it for episode 242. We're all looking forward to game five, feeling confident, feeling good. Get your little stitches stuff going. And we're going to see you next week. But you can follow us collectively on Twitter at TortureCast, individually at ChadK21 for myself, at 2OutHits with the number 2 for Eric, at WillieDills for Willie. Check out everything we post on TortureCast.com. All right, for Willie, for Eric, this is Chad signing off. And we'll see you next week when we're talking about the Giants versus the Braves in the NLCS. Until then, have a great week. A-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.